Alright, we're going to start on the mission on the top of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is continuing with regards to the different Shomrim that we just discussed in the previous Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, Matne Shomer Chinam, Liot Patur Mishvua, a Shomer Chinam who otherwise, if he bumped into a case of Gneva Veda, or he bumped into a case of Ones, has to take a Shvua, he can make a condition in his engagement that he'll be a Shomer Chinam, but he's not going to have to take a Shvua. Vashol Liot Patur Milishalem, a Shoel who otherwise would be chayav to pay in almost every instance, can make a condition that he's borrowing it on the condition that he won't have to pay. Nosesachar Vasucher Liot Paturim Mishvua Ul Milishalem, and a hired guard or a renter can make a condition where they don't have to take a Shvua for the items they would otherwise have to take a shvua, like Neva and like Ones, and they won't have to pay in otherwise instances where they would have to pay, which is Geneva Veveda. Mishnah continues, Kol Matne Amasha Katuv Batara Tano Batel. Whoever takes a Tnai against what is explicitly stated in the Torah, that Tnai is not effective. And as Rashi points out, we've seen this before, that the Maaseh is Mukuyam, meaning that the Tnai falls away, but that does not invalidate the entire statement. It means that the Maaseh or the agreement is effective except for the part that is Matne Amasha Katuv Batara. V'chol Tnai She'es Maaseh B'tchilato Tnao Batel. So this is something we've also bumped into in Kedushin, which is the requirement to have Tnai B'nei Gad U'V'nei Ruvain, which is Tnai B'nei Gad U'Ruvain, the Tnai preceded the Maaseh, that the condition was stated before the actual agreement was entered into. So the same thing over here, that any Tnai that has the Maaseh first, meaning that the action or the effective agreement is prior to the Tanai or the condition, then the Tanai is Batel. And again, when the Tanai is Batel here, it means that the Maaseh goes through, that the otherwise, whatever transaction, whatever agreement goes through, the Tanai falls away. V'chol eshe efshad lo l'kaimo, anything one can keep, meaning the ability to execute on, b'sofo in the end, v'hit na'imo b'tchilato, and he made that condition up front, t'no kayam, then the Tanai works. Alright, so the Gemara is going to dissect, go through each section of this Mishnah and discuss what it means. So the Gemara says, Amai. I mean, the Mishnah seems almost inconsistent in the fact that it says, Kol mishimat na matzah kotu b'torah, t'no batel. Make a t'nai and what's in the Torah, it's batel. But yet, the first part of the Mishnah is all about making a t'nai against what would be a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, Shoel, which are dictated by the Torah. So how could it be that the first part of the Mishnah is saying, no problem, make a Tanai and you can override that which is written in the Torah. And then the statement in the Mishnah, the next statement is, anybody who's Matne HaMashah Katuv B'Torah, Tano Batel. Where it says, Amai, why does this work? Matne HaMashah Katuv B'Torah Hu, V'chol Matne HaMashah Katuv B'Torah, Tano Batel. Why does this work that you're able to dictate the terms of what to be a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, or to be a Shoel? Where it says, Hamani Rabbi Hudihi. The author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Huda, who we had encountered in Kiddushin, Amar, b'davar shebemamon t'no kayam. That there's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda that we're going to see in 1 second, but Rabbi Meir believes that one can never make any conditions on the Torah or against what the Torah explicitly lays out. On the other hand, Rabbi Huda is of the belief that you can make conditions when it comes to monetary issues, not isurim, but monetary issues, one is allowed to make such tnaim. Titania, we have a braisa. Omer Lisha, someone who says to a woman, Ariat Mekudeshet Li, Manat, Shein Lach, Laich, Alai, Sher, Ksud, Vilna, establishes Kiddushim on the condition that he doesn't have the three basic components of what the Torah obligates when it comes to Kiddushim, which is Sher, Ksud, and Ona. So now, Harizim Mekudeshet, but to know Batel, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, consistent, what we said before, says that Rabbi Meir says you can't be Matneh HaMashah Katuv B'Torah. Your Tanai falls away because you made a condition against what's explicitly laid out in the Torah. And the Maaseh goes through. The Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. And your Tanai is completely invalid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'dover Shebamamon Tanau Kayom. When it comes to monetary matters, the Tanai works. So monetary matters over here, we'd have share ksut and onat, depending on what you think the meaning is, but assuming that share is mizonot, ksut is right, clothing, and then ona, which would be isurim. So shir and ksut, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could make conditions about, whereas ona, you cannot make conditions about. Because one is, or those two, first two are monetary matters, and in those areas you're allowed to make conditions, even though they might go against what the Torah lays out. Whereas when it comes to isurim, that is not the case. It says, umi. She can be mochel on the what does that mean? She could be, well, the kedushin, she has to receive something. It doesn't matter what, she has to get something. I mean, it doesn't to affect the kedushin, there has to be an action of some sort. If she's mochel and there's no kedushin, I mean, the kedushin were never effective. You still need a maaseh kedushin. So if she doesn't accept the pruta, then what's the maaseh kedushin? Right, we say that that a woman is not gomer makneh. We say in kedushin that a woman is not willing to be makneh herself, or does not give herself when it comes to bless the neshav pruta. All right, so Gemara says umi matzit mukum like Rabbi Yehuda. Can you really establish this mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Aim a sefer. What are you going to do with the next lines in the mishnah? Kol hamatne amasha kadu b'torah to know batel. Whoever makes a condition against what's written in the Torah is tonight is batel. Atan Rabbi Meir. Rak goes according to Rabbi Meir. Halokasha. No. Lolam Rabbi Yehuda hi. That's Rabbi Yehuda. V'seifa b'davar she'en shel manmon. And the seifa is a case which is not in monetary manners. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda does agree to the principle. He has the principle that anybody who's matneh mashakotu b'torah is invalid. The t'nai is invalid. But Rabbi Yehuda bifurcates that din. He says in cases of mamon, that's not true. But in case of isur, it is true. So our mishnah, when it talks about the Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Sechar, and the Shoel, those are monetary matters. There, Rabbi Yehuda believes you can be Matna Mashakotu Torah. The next line in the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be Matna Mashakotu Torah. That's dealing with issues of Isur. And Rabbi Yehuda will agree to that. Where it says, okay, so now you dealt with the first two statements in the Mishnah. What about the third statement of the Mishnah? The third statement of the Mishnah is Eima Seifa, Kotnai Shish Bo Maaseh B'Tchilato, Tno Batel. Any Maaseh that has a Tnai, right, after the ma'aseh, then it's batel, meaning that the t'nai must precede the ma'aseh. Manch ma'itle de'itle ha'svora. Who has this position that you must have the t'nai precede the ma'aseh? That's Rabbi Meir. It's a position of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is the one who focuses on the t'nai being identical or using the paradigm of the t'nai b'nei Gad and b'nei Ruvain. Titania, Abu Khalafta Ishkvar Khananya Amar, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Tnai, Kodum La Maseh, Harizet Tnai. If the condition precedes the Maaseh, that's a Tnai. Maseh, Kodum La Tnai, Eno Tnai. If the action takes place before the Tnai, or the Kinyan, or the what you're trying to affect here takes place before, for instance, if you have Kiddushin before any Tnai that is established, do you say Hariat Mekadesh Ali, and then afterwards you start to engage in a Tnai, that won't work. Ella, so the Gemara says that can't be the case. Ella, kula Rabbi Meir hi. This entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Ah, if it's Rabbi Meir, everything else works nicely in the Mishnah. It's kol matna shemato kodu b'torah t'no batel. That's good according to Rabbi Meir. That the t'nai must precede the maaseh. That's great for Rabbi Meir. The only problem for Rabbi Meir is the first part of the Mishnah, which says that one can be matneh when it comes to the dinim of shomer chinam, shoel, and socher, and shomer sachar. According to Rabbi Meir, how could that be? It's Gemara says, "Rishani hocha." Here it's different. Demikara lo shabad nafshei, that he never engaged or entered into being a shomer chinam. I mean, as opposed to kiddushin, where a person must create the kiddushin. We'll read this in Rashi in one sec. He has to create the Kiddushin, and then he's trying to take a Tanai, he's trying to alter the Kiddushin, that he can't do. Because either there is Kiddushin, or there is no Kiddushin. You can't have it be Chetzi, Chetzi, like, ah, oh, there'll be a half Kiddushin based on the way I say it. On the other hand, the Shomer Chinam, and the Shosocher, and the Shuel, is all about being Mekabel on themselves, the Dinim of the Shomer. I mean, they have to make a Kinyan in order to be Meshabed themselves to enter into such an agreement. If prior to entering into such agreement, they say, I'm not going to be a Shomer Chinam, basically what they've done is now they've eliminated themselves and not entered into the Parsha of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, and they could do such a thing. They can have an agreement that has nothing to do with the what the Torah prescribes as certain Shomrim. They just have agreement with this individual to, we have a contract that says, I'm going to watch this, and I won't have to pay for this. That they're allowed to do. They're allowed to make monetary contracts, and that's what they're doing here, because that does not affect what the Torah says. So that's the way Rashi learns. If you look in Rashi, there's a long Rashi, Afilu Tema. It's right below the Gemara in Rashi, right below the second Rashi there, Afilu Tema. Says Reisha Diktoni Matne Shomer Chinam Li Pater Mishva Rabbi Meir V'Hai Lav Matne Amasha Ketuv B'Torahu Ela Shamar Lo E Efshi Liot Shomer Shelcha Ela B'Kach. Says I don't want to watch it except on these conditions. V'Shomer Lo Nachid L'Shmirah, and a Shomer does not become a Shomer until Adam Moshech LeBehema, till he actually makes a kinyan. V'Haiki Moshech, once he makes the kinyan, Kfar Perish Amanat Sheinu Lav Shua. He already identified or said that the institution of Shmirah will not go into effect with him. He never agreed to become a Shomer. He agreed, this is the conditions, this is what we're going to do when I take the Kenyan. The Kenyan affects what I said. Person wants to generate Kiddushin with a woman. As soon as he says, Hariat Mekudeshet Li, the Kiddushin's done. It's fully in effect, it's fully in force. And then if he wants to then try to create a condition, he's being matne on what is generated min haTorah. You can't create partial kiddushin. So as opposed to shomrim, which Rashi the way Rashi is formulating the difference over here between shomrim and kiddushin is that kiddushin is an institution or a creation that the Torah established, and there's only one way to do that. There's only one way to create Kiddushin, and that's the way the Torah prescribes it. If you then start to create conditions within that Kiddushin, that is not Kiddushin anymore. If it's not Kiddushin, fine, you guys have an agreement between you, but you haven't generated Kiddushin, which allows you to get married. You haven't done anything that the Torah allows you or doesn't create the Kiddushin that the Torah lays out. On the other hand, when it comes to Shomrim, true, over here, you could say, I'm not a Shomer. But that does not change the facts. I mean, that you could not be a Shomer and still have a relationship with an individual. Because the relationship is not a demand of the Torah that we have some sort of form like Kiddushin, where we have some sort of prescribed relationship. Over here, it says that the Torah lays out certain relationships. But I can also define or create new relationships between me and the other individual, which are not laid out in the Torah. That's the way Rashi describes it. Tosfos, on the other hand, there's a Tosfos that we saw in Ketubos. It's Tosfos and Ketubos on Daf Nun Aleph. It actually starts on Daf Nun Aleph. It's actually the part that we're talking about is on Nun Aleph Amid Bet. There's a Tosfos in Ketubot, and I'll just read you the Tosfos. Over here, he quotes this Rashi, and he says that he does not agree with this Rashi. It says, "Vim tomar atzna besocher tepolim matne shomer chinam liot patur mishvua uparich v'gemara v'ha matna mashakatu b'torahu." Umesik, afilu tamer Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir agrees. There, shiny hocha demikar lo shibet nafshe. Umay mishani, right? What is it? What is the Gemara learning over there? Vahocha nami. Also here by kiddushin, lo kitch almanat kain lo shibet nafshe. Why can't you make the same statement by kiddushin? That he makes conditions and he won't enter into the agreement except with these conditions. Ve'yesh lomar the shiny hatam that is different by shomrim, kaven de ribta Torah shomrim harbe. The Torah already laid out multiple types of relationships that you can have with another individual. Shomer Chinam, Shoel, Nosei Sechar. So Yochol Nami, Kol Echad Yot Lefi Tnao. So since the Torah does not lay out a singular way to create this relationship, it already has a plurality or multiplicity of ways to create the relationship, you can add another way, another type of relationship. By Kiddushin, the Torah only lays out one way. And that's the only way you can do it. That's the first answer of Tosfos. Inami, Tosfos gives a second answer. Shani hatam dechayvto Torah shomer sechar ashalokeach sechar. The Torah obligates the shomer sechar because he's taking compensation. B'shuel ofish kol nashalo. B'shuel because all the benefit is to him. U'mishab dimatzman l'chol katuv b'parsha. And when they enter into an agreement, they basically agree to whatever's written in the Torah. Hilkach, but makom she'en mishabdin atzman, if they don't agree to be mishabed themselves based on what the Torah lays out, p'turim. Ubekuntrus, and in the Rashi, perisham, the hocha mikudeshe mishum techiavla kiddushe akadsha, v'tana batar hachi lav klumhu. That once he created the kiddushin, the kiddushin's done, and the tanai afterwards is meaningless. Right? Kiyalachi lav klumhuk, shekvar hi ishto. It's already his wife. Aval shomer chinam, mane kodim shemashach. The Shomer Chinam takes the Knai before the engagement happens. Vein Nira. He says, doesn't make any sense. The Hakol Tanai, the Rabbi Meir, Tanai Kodum the Masehu. Right? According to Rabbi Meir, the Tanai always precedes the Maseh. The way Rashi is the way Tosos at least is reading Rashi, Tosos is reading Rashi that Rashi is saying the difference between Kiddushin and the Shomrim here is that by the Shomrim, they put the Tanai first. And therefore the Shibud, when you came to entering into the agreement, the Tanai was already on the table, and it was not Mishabed Nafshei. On the other hand, when it comes to Kiddushin, right, by Kiddushin, the Kiddushin were already effective, and then he tries to make the Tanai afterwards. That you can't do. You can't then do whatever is done in the Kiddushin. That's the way Tosos reads Rashi. I think that you could read Rashi differently, which is the way we explained it earlier, which is that very good. So I think exactly that's the way we explain Rashi at first, and I think that's true in Rashi that the difference, and it's almost like the first answer Tosos gives in Ksubos, which is that Shomrim, there are multiple relationships that you can have. When it comes to monetary engagements, a person can have a multiplicity of relationships, meaning that the relationship is not so narrow that you can only have a singular relationship. When it comes to Kiddushin, the answer is yes. There is only one type of Kiddushin, and that's what the Torah lays out. If you alter that, it's no longer Kiddushin. Sure, you can have a relationship with the woman, but you don't have Kiddushin with the woman. Exactly what you said, Shol. So I think that is the difference. But Tosfos in Kiddushin seems to read, in Ksubot seems to read Rashi a little differently. And because of that, rejects Rashi and gives those other two answers that we saw in Ksubot. The other thing to note over here is that there's also machlokas that we saw together in Gittin, which is the Gemara in Gittin and Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, discusses this issue of Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain, and says that there it discusses whether the Tanai has to be Kodem Namaseh. And Rashi in Gittin says that if Filu, the Rabbanan of Rabbi Meir, agree that the Tanai must be before the Maaseh. Everybody agrees that Tanai must be before the Maaseh. That's what Rashi says in Gittin. Tosus on the spot there disagrees. Tosus says, I think this Gemara is a good proof to me, because the Gemara is not willing to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Huda because of exactly that problem. You see that Rabbi Huda disagrees with Rabbi Meir when it comes to this issue of Tanai Kodem Maaseh. Had it been that everybody agreed to this principle of Tanai Kodem Maaseh, then you could have even established this Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos says that's a proof to my position in the Gemara in Gittin. Okay, we'll continue in the Gemara here. Tano, umatne shomer sachar liot kishoel. A shomer sachar can agree to enter into agreement, well, he'll have the obligations of a shoel. The Girsa in many other places you'll see is that it's shomer chinam, matne shomer chinam. Not that it makes a difference to the case, but the Girsa for others is that it's matne shomer chinam liot kishoel. But my, how did he engage himself? How did he become a Shoel and not a Shomer Sachar? Bedvarim? They simply stated, they simply made an agreement, an oral agreement, and all of a sudden he becomes a Shoel? How could that be? That doesn't make sense. Amar Shmuel b'shekanami yado. No, there's a form of kinyan here. There has to be a formal kinyan. That kinyan will obligate the individual to become a Shoel, meaning that he accepted to take the responsibilities of a Shoel, even though he's a Shomer Sachar, and that'll work. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu teima b'shelo kanami yado. Rabbi Yochanan says that you don't even need a kinyan to effect this type of switch from being a Shomer Sachar to a Shoel, because why? By or not? The kanafik lekala the inish mehemnahu, because with that idea that it goes out that he is now considered to be a trustworthy individual, gamiru mishabed nafshei. Right, he'll go out. People will. He'll be mishabed his nafshei. He'll agree to engage himself as a shoel instead of a shomer sachar, or according to the other gersa, which probably makes a little more sense, is shomer chinam. That even though he would have been a shomer chinam, since he's getting the name as a trustworthy individual, that is some form of what we call consideration. Since that's some sort of a consideration, he will be mishabed nafshei. He will agree and take on the obligations of being a shoel and not simply being a shomer chinam or shomer sachar. So Shmuel demands over here that one make a formal kinyan in order to alter the obligations of the shomer. On the hand, Rabbi Yochanan says no. It depends on really on the circumstance of the context, but you don't need a formal kinyan. You just need some form of consideration. That consideration can be even in intangible items. The intangible item of the fact that now he is classified as a ish ne'eman, that's enough of a consideration in order for him to be mishabed nafshei. All right, so now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. V'chol she'efshar lo l'kaimo b'sofo. Amar Rav Tav, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. This position in our Mishnah says that if the Tanai is possible to be Mikuyam, then it is a good Tanai. If it's impossible to ever create this Tanai or have this Tanai become effective, then it's not a good Tanai. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Aval Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree, Af Al Pi She'efshar Lo L'Kaimo. Even if it's impossible to, for instance, be mekayim the tnai, but so far in the end, the tnai works and it will never be effective. This becomes a tnai that will never be executed on. Titania, we'll give an example. This is your get on the condition that you go up to the sky, up to the heavens. Home, and that you go down to the depths. That you swallow a rod or a some sort of bamboo shoot that was 100 amot long. That you walk on the water. Basically, you walk across the Mediterranean on your feet. If she walks on water, she gets up to the heavens, then it's a good get. If she doesn't fulfill these obligations, then it's not a good get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, kizeh get. That's a get, and there's nothing to talk about. I mean, the Tanai is automatically invalid. Since the Tanai is invalid, the Tanai falls away, and the Maseh is Mikuyam. Klau, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, b'chol she'ef shar lo l'kaimo, b'sofo. If it will be impossible to ever accomplish the Tanai, v'hit na'alav mitchilato, and you made that a part of the original conditions, enu elokim afliga. It's basically an exaggeration, v'kasher. And it works. The ma'aseh is effective, or whatever you were trying to do is effective, then the tanai falls away. As Rashi says, but the mafliga b'dvarim means that he's just trying to cause her pain. He wants to divorce her, but he wants to make it difficult on her. So he makes up these tanaim that make it sound like it's not going to work, or if it's going to take longer for her to get the get. But in Anachanami, the get's effective immediately, and it's just an exaggeration. The tanai falls away entirely. Amarav, Nachman Amarav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, and that if a tanai is impossible to ever be accomplished, the tanai then is not effective or not a part of the conditions of the maaseh. The maaseh goes through without the tanai. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Manita Nami Deka. Our Mishnah is Mduyak, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Diktani, because it says in our Mishnah, Koshev Shalom L'Kaimo B'Sofo, V'Hitna Lav Mitchilato. Anything that was impossible to accomplish, I mean, the tanai is impossible to effect, then V'Hitna Lav Mitchilato, and you made that condition up front, Tano Kayam, the tanai works. Hai Yevshar, you can infer from our Mishnah, if it was impossible to Kaimo, Tano Batel, then his tanai would be Batel, Shvamina, that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Now, Tosus asked the obvious question, it's not so simple, which is, Rav already told us that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Then they come back here and we say, Rav Nachman Rav says, Allah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, and our Mishnah is Meduyak, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. What is he saying? What is Rav Nachman saying? He's basically saying what Rav said before, which is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema is the author of our Mishnah. So Tosfos, there's a Tosfos here, I won't get so involved in it, but he basically says, tries to figure out a way to read the Mishnah, not like that it's not a piece of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, but rather the last piece of the Mishnah actually references back to Matne Mashakotu Batorah, and therefore it wasn't necessarily Mukhrach that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema was the author of this Mishnah, and therefore, because of the setup here, because of the way the Mishnah is laid out, and it says v'chol, this extra word of chol shows us this is disconnected from the statements before. Since it's disconnected from the statements before, that's indicative, or we can medayek from this statement like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. That's the way Tosus learns over here. But so far means that eventually. It doesn't have to be immediately. It doesn't have to be effective today. It doesn't mean that you can. It doesn't mean that she has to be mekayem the tanai today, but it has to be that there's a possibility in the future. Bisofo means eventually she can reach a point where she can accomplish it. I mean that you could have a possibility where the tanai is not accomplishable today. It's not lekaimo. It doesn't have to be effective today. Lekaimo would indicate that today she must be able to accomplish it. That's not true. Even if she's unable to accomplish it today, but it is accomplishable in the future, that would be a possible tonight. I assume that's the difference.
That's, in our focus on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about tonight, we hold like Rabbi Meir, right?
Right. That is, it's yes, but how much we hold like Rabbi Meir is a good question. Yes, we do pass like Rabbi Meir, but the Rishonim disagree with how much of Rabbi Meir is agreed to by everyone and how much of Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Meir's opinion. And even when we say it, when do we say that the Tanai B'nai Gad Reuven must be effective? We saw that there's machlokus between the Rashbam and Tosfos about whether it only applies to monetary matters, it's only applied to Yisurim. There's a machlokus Rabbi Shonim, how to apply Rabbi Meir or where to apply Rabbi Meir. So even if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, you have to know where to affect Rabbi Meir. We discussed that when we did the Gemara in Kiddushin.
As in terms of the part that we say is does that Tanai have to still be constructed? You can have a speaking to whether the Tanai is fulfillable or not, but does it still have to be stipulated in the structure of the Tanai like that in the river?
If you hold like Rabbi Meir, the answer is yes. If you don't hold like Rabbi Meir, the answer is no. I mean, it's not, Rabbi Yehuda Batema is not addressing that issue. He's just addressing the, right, Tanai in the end. And I just remind you, we mentioned this last time we did this with Tanaim, which is that, why over here, when the Tanai doesn't work, right, what should happen is that the Maaseh, you have an action. I want to create Kiddushin, and then I make a condition. Now, the condition is not effective. It should be that when the condition is not effective, the whole Maaseh should fall apart. That was not my intent. My intent was not just to get married, and then the Tanai was a sidebar. The Tanai was integral to my getting married in this case. If the Tanai fails, why doesn't the Maaseh fail? But it's clear here from the Gemara, it's clear from Rashi's explanation here, that the Tanai falls away and the Maaseh is effective. The reason, Tosfos mentions this, Tosfos, I think, Subos mentions, the reason this is because the Tanai is a Chiddush. The fact that one is able to undo a Maaseh through a Tanai, or is able to postpone or defer a Maaseh through a Tanai, is a Chiddush. So the fact is, if that is already a Chiddush, then it'll only be effective. The Maaseh should be effective anyway. With the Torah's Mechadesh, or gives you an opportunity to create a Tanai that postpones or somehow changes or alters the Maaseh, that is only works. Because it's a Maaseh Chiddush, it only works if you do it right. If you don't do it right, the default status is that the Maaseh goes through. And that's why in all these cases, when the Tanai falls apart and the Tanai is not done in the proper manner, the Maaseh stands because the Tanai is a Chiddush, and if you do not do it properly, the Chiddush won't take effect and the Maaseh will stand. Okay, so now we're going to start the new Perek. This is the Perek starts with the issue of Balav Imo. This is something that we had bumped into a little earlier, but now we're going to get into more depth and we're going to deal with the Shomrim again. Shoelet Para, someone who borrows a Para, Vishal Balei Aima. At the same time, he asks the owner of the Para to come and help him out, O Sachar Balei Aima, or he hires the owner to come and work alongside with the animal. Shal Balim, if he originally asked the owner to come and help him, O Sachran, or he hired him, V'achakach Shalat the Para, and then afterwards he borrows the Para, Umeita, and it dies Patur. In all those cases, the Shoel is Patur. Why? Shneimar im Balav Imo lo Yishalem. If the owners are with him at the time of the She'ela, meaning that they were engaged with him at the time of the She'ela, then he is Patur. Again, we'll get more in depth into this in the Gemara. Aval, if it's not this way, which is Sha'alat Para, he borrows the Para, Va'achakach Sha'alat Balim, and afterwards he then engages the Balim to come and help him, O Sachran, or he hires them, Umeita, and then it dies, Chayav. In that instance, he is Chayav, Shenemar Balav, Einimo Shalem Yishalem, if the owners are not with him. So you see from here, clearly from the Mishnah, owners not with him means that they weren't with him at the time that the relationship was generated. It has nothing to do with the fact that they were there. The Balim could be standing there when it dies now, and he'll still be Chayav. The issue of when Balav Imo is about when, at the time of the engagement, the time that they become a Shomer or Shoel, that's it has to be there. We saw that in the Gemara earlier, if you remember, by the case of the Shechar, with the individual where they had the individuals who used to take turns watching or doing the work. And in that instance, the Gemara says that we give a Psak Halacha that he should be Patur, and he should be Chayav in that instance. And the Gemara says, the Chachamim asked, how could it be? It was Balav Imo. And then the Gemara answers that he was drinking Shechar. He was drinking beer at the time that they began to do their rotation and they came into engagement. So if that's the case, it wasn't Balav Imo at the time of the engagement. Even though later on, he comes and does the work and he's involved in the work, that's not classified as Balav Imo. Because at the moment that they were engaged, he was not engaged in the other part of the work, that's not considered Balav Imo. Right now, the Gemara says, Miktani Seifa, Vachar Kach She'alat Para, Michlal Dereisha Ktani Ima Mamash. So, it sounds like the Seifa case is that later on, he borrows, right, the Para. Michlal, that the Reisha, the first case in the Mishnah, is a case that ima ima mamash, they happen simultaneously. That means he borrows the animal and the balim at the same time, or he borrows the animal and he hires the balim to work with him at the same time. Where it says ima mamash mi mishkachala, how could you have a simultaneous kinyan both on the animal and on the balim to be engaged? Parabi mishicha, how do you engage an animal? How do you become a shoel on an animal? You make a kinyan mishicha on the animal. That's how you become the shoel over this animal. Ubalim, how do you engage the owners to come work with you? Bamira. You have a statement. You have some sort of relationship where you make a conditions or you make an agreement between you, and that's an oral agreement. So how could it be that the engagement of the para and the owners happen simultaneously if their kinyanim are affected a bit differently? Gemara says, Ibai Deima, Gagon de Kaima para bechatzero de Shoel. One possibility is that the para is in already in the chatzer of the shoel, d'lo michsera mishicha, because then you won't need a kinyan mishicha on the animal, because automatically, once he says, listen, I want to borrow you and your para, they happen simultaneously, because the para is already in his property, so his chatzer will be koneh on his behalf, and the speech, the verbal agreement to engage the other individual happens at the same time. Ibaitem, another possibility is Damalei at gufech lo tish'al ad shat mishichat paratcha. So basically, he just says he delays the engagement of the balim until the mishicha of the para. He says, simultaneous with the mishicha of the para, you will become engaged with me to be a sheila. So that's how you create this simultaneous relationship.
Why does that be simultaneous? Why can't the owner start before the para?
It could be, but the Gemara is just saying the way the Mishnah is phrased, the way the Mishnah is worded, it gives you a case of a delayed engagement. But that suggests that the first engagement was a simultaneous engagement. So how do you explain that simultaneous engagement in the Gemara? That's all the Gemara is trying to do, is define how does the Mishnah have such a case of simultaneous engagement? That's the only way to create an engagement, because we see the second case in the Mishnah is where you have that they first engage the balim and then he later borrows the para. That's equivalent, and that works too in that case. Okay, Tanan Hatam. Sorry, there's a Mishnah that we just saw in right yesterday's daf. Arba shomrim hem. There are four types of shomrim: shomer chinam, shuel, nosei sechar, v'socher. Right, shomer nichinam nishbala kol. Shomer chinam takes a shvua on everything, of course, except for pshia. But we're not dealing with pshia. Shuel mishalim et hakol. Shuel pays for everything, okay, of course, except for meita mamachmat malacha. And nosis sachar v'zocher nishbaim ala shvua ala shvuya ala meita. They take a shvua when it comes to ones. Umishalim et aveda v'et gneva, and they pay when it comes to gneva and aveda. Gemara asks, menahane mile. Where do you know this from? So the problem is, why didn't they ask this back when we had the Mishnah? We had the Mishnah back on Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara doesn't ask, Menahani Mile. All of a sudden here, we're in the middle of the new Perek, they bring down this Mishnah, and they say, Menahani Mile. So Tosfos says over here, they waited. They were, you know, they were polite. They waited over here because they wanted to get the din of Imbalavimo in first. Once they got the din of Imbalavimo in first, then they wanted to discuss how we know all of these dinim. That's what Tosfos says. They delayed the discussion until we had more information, until we had the full, all the facts on the table. All right, the Tana Rabbanan. How do we know this? So here, you might want to take out a chumash. Here we're going to deal with in the Parshat Mishpatim, it's part of the Mishpatim, Perech Chav Bet, and we're dealing with the Psukim, basically Vav, through the end of the Perek. And the Gemara says here, the Tana Rabbanan, Parsha Rishona Nemra B'Shomer Chinam. The first Parsha that's found in Parshat Mishpatim, this is the Parsha that's basically from Pasukim Vav until Pasuchet, which starts, the header of that Parsha is Kiten Ish El Reu Kesev Okelim Lishmor, to watch. So that watching, the Chachamim say, is a Shomer Chinam. Shnia, the second Parsha, which begins with Pasuk Tet in Perek Chaf Bet. Over there, the Pasuk says, Kitein Ish El Reu Chamor Oshor Osev Chomima Lishmor. Lishmor, that Shmira, the Gemara says, is talking about a Shomer Shachar. Shlishit, the third Parsha, which starts in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, V'chi Ishal Ish Mi'im Reu, if you borrow something from your friend. So that is talking about a Shoel. So in the Torah, we have three parshiot according to Chachamim. We have the first Lishmor, which is Shomer Chinam, the second Lishmor, which is Shomer Sachar, and then we have the third parsha, which is Chishal, which is a Shoel. The last pasuk, or the last part of the last pasuk, says Im Sachir Hu Babischaro. If he's a Sachir, then Babischaro, that's Socher, and that's the machlokas we've seen before between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda, whether he's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. All right, for that.
No,
Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama shlishit b'shoel mifurash. There's nothing to talk about. When it comes to shoel, I can agree with the Liman HaChamim, because there's nothing to discuss. It's obvious that he's a shoel, because it says, V'chi yishal ish me'imrei o b'nishbaru meit balav enimo shalem yishalem. The pasuk is explicit that we're talking about she'ela. The problem is, the first two parshiot both say the word just lishmor, which is a generic term of shmira. How do you know the first parsha is talking about shomer chinam, and the second parsha is talking about shomer sachar? Ela rishona b'shimor chinam, shnia b'shomer sachar, ipoch ana. Flip it around. Say the first parsha is by shomer sachar, the second parsha is shomer chinam. The Gemara says, Mistavro Shnia b'shomer sachar. It's logical to say that the second parsha is dealing with the shomer sachar, because if I asked you, if you had a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar, which should be more chamur in his dinim? It should certainly be the Shomer Sachar. The one who's getting paid should be held to a higher standard or more accountable. So it's clear that he should have the parsha that has the higher standard or the higher culpability. So when it says, Shekain, the second parsha says, Chayav b'gneva aveida. The second parsha says, you're chayav in gneva aveida, whereas the first parsha says, you are patur by gneva aveida. So if that's the case, it's clear that the second parsha has got to be talking about Shomer Sachar. The Gemara says, Adarabo. Why do you have to say that? The first parsha also has a chumra. What's the chumra in the first parsha? Rishona b'shomer sachar, Shekain mishalem tashlumi kevel b'toin tanat ganav. The difference between the first parsha and the second parsha is that in the first parsha, if you say it was stolen, true, you're patur up front. But if you're caught and you are the ganav, I mean, the shomer himself is the ganav, he pays kefel. In the second parsha, yes, if you claim there's ganav and aveda, you have to pay the karen, you have to pay right up front. But if you're caught or found out to be the ganav, there's no repercussions afterwards because you already paid for the item. There's no kefel in the second parsha, but toin tanat ganav. So Gemara says, there is a chumra in the first parsha. The chumra in the first parsha is you end up with kefel. The second parsha only has karen. Why not say the first parsha is shomer sachar and the second parsha is shomer chumra? So the Gemara gives an answer that we saw together numerous times. We saw it in Baba Kama and Perek Meruba. Afilu achi, karna b'lo shvua, difa mechvela b'shvua. That basically, karen, a person would always want to get paid. In terms of culpability, we want the situation where you always get paid. By shomer, by Geneva and Veda in the second parsha, if there's a claim of Geneva and Deva, there's money passed right away. You get compensated for stealing. In the first parsha, getting to Kefil is not such a simple solution, in the simple fact. You only get to Kefil, number one, if he takes the Shvua. Number two, if he's lying and he was really the Ganav. Means that in any other circumstances of Geneva and Veda, there's no Chumra of Kefil. So therefore, Karen, which is always present and always the outcome of Geneva, Vedan, the second parsha is a greater chumrah than kefel, but comes only under certain conditions in the first parsha. So based on that, right, we know that the first parsha is shomer chinam, second parsha is shomer sachar, third parsha is shoel. Teda, I can prove that to you. The has shoel, shoel, which we know has the highest standard, right, the highest culpability. Kohana shelo. Everything, because he gets all the benefits. And what's his culpability? To pay Karen. So meaning, if the higher standard was Kefel, then the Shoel should also be in the same position where it was Nignav. He can wait and then pay Kefel if he's caught. The fact that the Torah does not prescribe Kefel for Shoel shows you that the more chamur position is to pay Karen up front. Where it says, Ella, Karen Vashoel. Gemara says, Kohana Shelo. Is it really true that someone who borrows something, all the benefit is his? Vabai Mizone. So it says, you have to feed the animal. He borrows an animal, he's still got to feed it. It's not Kohana Shelo. Gemara says, the Kaimi Balgam. He has a swamp nearby. He has some Hefker property. The animal grazes by itself. There's no issue of Mizonot. Gemara says, Vabai Natira. So it says that he has to watch the animal. So even if it's a Shoel, he still has to guard the animal, has to take care of the animal. Gemara says, Benatar Mato. It's in a city that's already guarded, or it's not a place that it's not problematic for him to guard. He doesn't expend any effort to guard it. Vibai Sema, the simpler answer, which is Lotema Kol Nashalo, Ema Rova Nashalo. Doesn't mean everything is for him, but it means that the majority, basically 95% or 90% of all the benefits accrue to the Shoel here, because he's not paying anything, he's getting all the use of the animal. Vibai Sema. Some people say, B'shelat Kelim. Talking about She'elat Kelim. By Kelim, there's no need to feed the Kelim, and you can put them in your house with your other Kelim, and they're Nishmar by themselves. And that's when we say, Kohana Shelo. Okay, now, the Gemara wants to know, Noses Sachar V'asocher Nishba'im Ala Shvura V'ala Shvuya V'ala Meita U'mishalmim Et HaYeveda V'et HaGneva. When it comes to Shomer Sachar, which we are now saying is found in the second Parsha, now we know that what? That they pay, when it comes to Geneva and Eveda, a Socher and a Shomer Sachar pay. If they make a claim of Geneva and Eveda, they pay up right away. When it comes to Ones, which we enumerated here, three Onsin, which is, right, Shvura, Shvuya, and Meta, all three of those Onsin, he takes the Shvua, and he is Patur. Now, Gemara says, Bishlama Gneva Ktiv. I know that by Gneva he has to pay up, because it says in the Parsha of Shomer Sachar, it says, V'im Ganov, Iganev, Mi'imo, Yishalem the Balav. That's Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is in the second Parsha. If it's stolen from him, then he pays the Balim, he pays the owners. So it's explicit there that he's culpable when it comes to Gneva. But, what do you, Ella, Aveda, Minolon? What are you going to do? Where in the Parsha does it mention the word Aveda that we say he's culpable to pay when he claims Aveda? Detanya, im ganov yiganev, en li'ela gneva. That only includes gneva. Aveda minayin. How do we know Aveda is also included in that Parsha? Talmud Lomar, im ganov yiganev, mikom akom. The double lashon of ganov yiganev comes to teach me not only gneva, but even Aveda. It says, that works well according to the opinion who says that the Torah doesn't just speak like the normal expressions of individuals. I mean, the colloquial expressions where they would use ganov yiganev would have been a normal expression. The Torah is not coming to teach us any limud; it's just speaking to bnei adam. So in that case, those that say that is colloquial and the speech is not exacting when it says, how do you explain? What's the limud to teach you also Aveda? So Amre b'mi'arava kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Why is that? Now we know by ones, a shomer sechar is patur. He takes a shvuah and he's patur. By pshia, he's chayav. Now, Geneva and Aveda fall out in a continuum between Ones and Pshia. If you were to look at Geneva and Aveda in that continuum between Ones and Pshia, I would say Geneva, and that's what the Gemara is going to say, is closer to Ones, and Aveda is closer to Pshia. And that's what the Gemara is going to say here. That's the Kal v'chomer. Uma Geneva shkruva l'ones. Geneva on that continuum, which is closer to being an Ones than a Pshia, still, despite that fact, he's Yishalem, he pays. Aveda shkruva l'pshia. Aveda, which is a lot closer on that continuum to Pshia, lokoshke, and then certainly he should be able to, or should be obligated or culpable to pay here. V'idach, what about the other individual? Why doesn't the other opinion who says Dibra Torah does not hold of Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam, why doesn't he say the Kal v'chomer also? He says, Milta Dachu Kal v'chomer Torah v'kotav l'kra. True, and Ochanami could learn out of Kal v'chomer, but the Torah went out of its way to explicitly give you a limud, which is Im Ganov Yiganev. Natosis over here mentions, it's a similar thing, we saw this earlier in Bava Metzia on Davit Lamed Aleph and Bet. There we spent a lot more time on this Tosfos, that when do you say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam? Because even, Tosfos says, even according to the one who says Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam, if there is a limud to be done that makes sense, then we say take the limud and don't say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. The only time we say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam is when the limud is undermines what the push-up shot in the pasuk is. If the push-up shot of the pasuk would say one thing, and then the limud comes and is almost the opposite of what it says, then we could say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. So that's what Tosa says over here. It says, Im Ganov Yiganev. It's clear that the pasuk's talking about Gneva. And now the limud says, no, it's not talking about Gneva, it's talking about Aveda. So that limud is undermining what the push-up shot in the pasuk is, and that's why we'll invoke the idea of Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. Then this opinion who says Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam will be effective here, and that's why he needs the Kal v'chomer. Now that's a blanket statement. Every time there's a double lashon, or every time there's a limud, we say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. It's only one here, like in these instances where it's undermining the pashup shot of what the words mean. Hashoel mishalem et hakol. Shoel pays for everything. Gemara says bishlama shvura umeta. I understand that he has to pay when it comes to shvura and meta, which is ones dichtiv, because that's explicit in the pasuk. It says v'chishal ish mimreu v'nishbar umet. Right, that is explicitly written in the pasuk. Therefore, he has to pay. Ela shvuya bishoel minolan. How do you know that by shvuya he also has to pay? Now, by a shomer sachar, it enumerates all these types of onsim, which is v'chol be'ema lishmar umet onishbar onishba. So, in a shomer sachar, it enumerates three types of onsim, which he takes a shvua for. When it comes to shoel, only two of those onsim are enumerated, not three of them. That is mate and nishbar. But shvuya is not mentioned in this case. So how do you know that a shoel will be chayav when it comes to shvuya? V'chitema, what are you going to say? Well, if a shoel is chayav in onsin, then we should be chayav in all onsin. Why do you have to enumerate all the onsin? Nelef mishvura umeta. Just learn it out from shvura umeta, which, right, if it gets damaged or it's dead or it's killed. Malishvura umeta shken unsu desalikadatuhu. Wait a minute. There are different gradations of ones. just like before we saw in the continuum between onus and pshia, that ganeva and aveda fall out on different lines on that spectrum, or different parts of that spectrum, so too by onsin, there's a spectrum of onsin. Onsin such as nishbar and meitar are things that a person would have, right, a priori, before he enters into agreement, he would consider that to be a normal thing that could happen to an animal, that it could die or could get damaged. That's not considered to be unusual. And therefore, when he enters into the agreement, he would accept upon himself that type of ones. But Tomar b'shvuyash, ken unsa dolosol kadatehu? Who would ever think that it would be shvuya, that it would be taken away or captive, you know, meaning that the shvuya is such an unusual type of circumstance that a person would not have that forethought when he was entering into the agreement. So you can't just automatically assume because you're chayav b'shvura meita, therefore you're chayav by shvuya. Ella, nemra shvura meita b'shuel, v'nemra shvura meita b'shomer sachar. So Mar says, well, let's make a hekish, basically, or a limud between Shomer Sechar to Shoel. Just like by Shomer Sechar, it says both of them have the two categories, which are Shvura and Meitah mentioned. Shomer Sechar also has Shvuya, but the Shoel does not have the word Shvuya. So we'll just assume that whenever it mentions all of them. Why? Malahal and Shvuya Imo. Just like by Shomer Sechar, when it says Shvura and Meitah, it also includes Shvuya. Afkan Shvuya Imo. Then also to over here, Shvuya Imo. The Gemara says, Ikala Mifrach. That's not a great limud. Why? Mala Shomer Sechar, Shuken Liftor. By Shomer Sechar, what are you trying to do with the Onsin over there? You're trying to say that the Shomer Sechar is Patur. So if he's Patur by Shvura and Meita, he should also clearly be Patur by Shvuya, which is the super Ones. That's the more effective Ones. But when it comes to Shoel, what are you trying to do by a Shoel? You're trying to be Mechayev the Shoel. When you come to be Mechayev the Shoel, right? How could you make such a statement, right? B'shoel, shekein l'chiyuv. How could you say by Shoel, when you're trying to obligate him, true, by Shvura and Meita is chayav. But to say then also, by definition, should also be chayav by Shvuya, that doesn't make sense, because that's more of an ones. So there's no, the step function doesn't work, because the purpose by Shomer Sechar is to be poter, and therefore it makes sense to include Shvuya. By Shoel, where you're trying to make him chayav, then to include Shvuya as a derivative of Shvura and Meita doesn't make sense, because it's a more of an ones, and to say that that is more culpable does not make sense. Ella, the reason that a shoel is chayav b'shvuya is k'Rabbi Natan. The Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, O, the rabot shvuya. In the pasuk it says, Chishal ish meim reo v'nishbar o meit. So that O is a ribuy, and that O comes to teach me even shvuya. So, hi, O, mi baile l'chalek? What do you mean? That, oh, we need to divide between the words nishbar and mate, to teach you that nishbar and mate, you don't have to have both in order to be chayav, you only need one or the other. The sakadat chamina ad mitvara umeita, until it got damaged and then dies, then he'll be chayav, lo mechayev. He won't be chayav unless both of them happen. Kamash malan, the O tells me either or, meaning or nishbar, or meita, either one will be sufficient to make you chayav. So Gemara says, Hanicha, the Rabbi Yonatan. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yonatan. El Raboshia, Ma'ika, the Meimar. What are you going to do with Raboshia? This is a machlokas we saw in the Gemara in Kedushin. We've seen it in other places as well. Machlokas is, what is the default when the Torah enumerates multiple items in a pasuk, enumerates a, has a list of items. Are those items automatically assumed to be differentiated, meaning or do we assume that they're and, meaning that they're inclusive, they're all together, unless the Torah specifies otherwise, that it's or. I mean, unless it has a limud to teach you otherwise. And that's machlokas we're going to see here between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Oshia, the Tanya, with a brisa. Ish asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo. Person who curses, chas v'sham curses his parents, right, then he's chayav. So now, if you read the pasuk, et aviv ve'et imo, it would sound like you're only chayav if you curse both your father and your mother. Ein li aviv ve'imo. I've read the pasuk straight out, it would only be if you curse both of them. Aviv below Imo, Imo below Aviv Minayin. How do you know if each one independently was cursed, right, that they also you're a chayav? Tamalomar, Aviv Imo Kilel, Aviv Imo Kilel, Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel. The word Kilel is found both in the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. One is juxtaposed to Imo, and one is juxtaposed to Aviv. And therefore, the Kilel applies to each one individually. Divrei Rabbi Oshia. What do you see from Rabbi Oshia? Rabbi Oshia is telling you that the default in a list in the Torah is to be that every item has to be accomplished unless the Torah otherwise specifies, everything is together. So since everything is together, if you say number of items, for instance, if you said Nishbar and Mate, then Nishbar and Mate would could say you have to have both until you're Chayav. So I need the specific word O to come to tell me to separate between the items. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonatan says, no, the default is not that way. The default is the opposite. Rabbi Yonatan says, when it says, ish et et aviv et imo, right, when it says isha sheikalet aviv et imo, it means both of them together or individually. That's the default. When you have a list of the Torah, it means and or, right? I mean, it's either or, right? Ad shifrot the chaktuv yachdav, unless the pasuk specifies otherwise that they have to be together. For instance, by the case of choresh shor chamor, that it writes yachdav there to teach you that ki, that when you take a shor ki achrosh b'shor b'chamor yachdav, that when you go and plow or you put them together, that's what the restriction is. So the Torah there specifies yachdav to teach you that yachdav there, but otherwise you don't need yachdav. Ad shifrot the chaktuv yachdav. So now the way Rashi learns it, I explained to you the way Rashi learns it, was Rashi says basically, since by shor, shelo yachrosh b'shor b'chamor, by the pasuk, it says yachdav. So since it says yachdav b'choresh b'shor b'chamor, that teaches that in other places where there's not a specific word to enjoin them, that they're considered separate. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosa says he does not agree. Tosa says that there is no limud here. Rabbi Yonatan is not based on a limud, but simply it's a logical, it's a svara. It's a svara that when you enumerate items, that it means or. The word yachdav comes to teach us that it's otherwise, but not that yachdav teaches us that yachdav here, and if it's not written yachdav, it's not that way. He says, no, the limud has nothing to do with shor and chamor and yachdav, it has to do with the logic. It's a svara. Svara is that when you list items, it means or. Now, you want places where you want to say they're together, then you need a specific word to put them together. All right, Gemara says, filu tema raboshia. We can even have raboshia here. So now we're stuck. We're in a position where we have nishbaro mate that's written by Shoel. The Gemara suggested that Rabbi Natan comes to teach us the word o teaches us what? The word o teaches us that its shvuya is included. Gemara says that works well according to Rabbi Yonatan, who says if it had the Torah simply written nishbar and mate, it would have been nishbar or mate. Now when it adds the word o, that's extraneous. So now I have a limud from Rabbi Natan. On the other hand, right, when it comes to raboshia, raboshia says without the word o, I would think the word nishbar mate means both. It has to be nishbar and mate, unless I have a word that tells me otherwise. So the o is coming to me mechalek between nishbar and mate. So if that's the case, how does Rabbi Yoshia learn that Shvuya applies your Chayav by Shvuya by Eshoel? My answer is, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yoshia. The Chalek Hacha Lo Tzarich. Even Rabbi Yoshia would agree in this Pasuk, you don't need a word O to separate between Nishbar and Mate. Why? My Tama Svorahu. It's a Svorah to say that Nishbar and Mate are not contingent one on the other. Why? Malikat Lakula, Malikat Lapalga. This is the Gemara's assumption in many places that a damage or injury is a partial death, meaning that it's a on the way to being dead is an injury. So to over here, how could you demand of the person that it both be shvura and meta? I mean that they're just they basically are the same thing. It's shvura, for instance, is 50%, and meta is shvura of 100%. So they're really one category. So if you were to demand them to be one, you know, if you were to say shvura and meta, you're saying it has to be two of the same thing. So it doesn't make sense. So therefore we say shvura omeita automatically, and then the word o becomes extraneous according to Rabbi Yoshia. If that's extraneous, then we have an ability to learn out shvuya from the word o, even according to Rabbi Yoshia.